Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. May God have the blessing upon his word. You may be seated. Several weeks ago, we looked at the introduction by verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We looked at how God granted Solomon the wisdom which he would ask. God said, "What would you want, Solomon? Ask one thing and I'll give it to thee." And Solomon asked for wisdom to know how to rule, to know how to make a judgment, to know how to discern, to make decisions that concern the nation of Israel as a king. And God was pleased with that request. And so therefore we have the book of Proverbs. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which God granted to Solomon. And so we have it in our hands. So we can say, though they may be the Proverbs of Solomon, we can say that this is God's wisdom given to us. And we understand that it's been said that Solomon is the greatest wise man on earth, or was one of the greatest wise men on earth. But we can be wise. Amen? You and I tonight. We can learn and understand that we have the Word of God in our hands, and it's not limited to one person. And God wants to bless us with His wisdom and impart to us His knowledge. And so we're going to look at the benefit of the Proverbs by looking at verse 2 through to 6. And it mentions here the purpose of the book, starting from verse 2. It's to know wisdom and instruction. To know is to acknowledge or to store information. It's to retain truth that is learnt. And wisdom is to be wise or skillful. And so therefore God would have me to be storing up His wisdom, storing up His knowledge, His truth in God's word. It's to learn the knowledge of God. It's to have the right use of knowledge as well. Someone once said, "A short life with the wisdom of God is better than a long life without it." And that's so true. And so God wants to impart to us His knowledge. So the book of Proverbs is for you and me to know God's wisdom and instruction. This is to be taught or to be disciplined. Actually, wisdom is the instruction taught by God and will help in being disciplined. If you see 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," that's teaching, that's the teaching of God's word, "for reproof, for correction," notice this word now, "and instruction in righteousness." Why? "That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So God desires for you and me, every one of us, to grow in His wisdom and to know His instruction in righteousness. Notice what the proverb says, Proverbs chapter 6. You'd notice that some of these proverbs, I'll just pass through them. They'll be on the screen, and I'll perhaps won't elaborate more than I would like to, only because we may go through some of these proverbs throughout the year if we ever get there. So we see Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. There are some things in the proverbs that have to be included. It's a wonderful source of God's wisdom that can be compared with other scripture to give us a little bit more light about this. And so we're looking at a lot of instruction. The Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And the way we learn and grow in life is through God's word reproving us and instructing us from day to day. That's why it's very imperative that you and I begin the day in the Word of God. It's good to read a proverb a day, amen? As in a chapter a day. I mean, you may even get a verse from that proverb that would help you throughout the day. And so notice the next proverb, Proverb 4, verse 13. "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is the, what? Thy life." I want you to be awake this evening. Come on. For she is thy what?
Life.
This is our life, instruction. God's word instructing us and directing our steps through the light of his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it's going to reprove us and it's going to instruct us. And so that's what the book of Proverbs for the instruction which God will give to us. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 3. I want you to notice something there. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Actually, hang on a second. Yep, 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of what? Knowledge increaseth strength. And so the Proverbs are for us to know, to gain knowledge of God's wisdom and instruction, that we may be strengthened in our godly walk with the Lord, in our decision making, and whatever it is pertaining unto faith and practice in our family, in our lives, in the life of our church, in our dealings with different people. Now, we see in verse 10, if you would, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. So this means that that person perhaps doesn't have enough knowledge to continue on. And so therefore the knowledge of God, knowing the scriptures, it is written, will help us combat day-to-day temptation and storms that we face every day. And that's the book of Proverbs. It would help us and gain knowledge, not for the purpose to be puffed up. No, as a matter of fact, it's only puffed up when you don't use it right. It's only puffed up when it's stored there and we don't do anything about what we know. No, it's knowledge. By the way, let me just say this. The more you know of God, the more you realize that you didn't know much as you thought you knew. I remember going through Bible college thinking I knew some. And how wrong was I? And then I left Bible college and realized I didn't know much at all still. We're always learning. We're always growing. And we can never know enough. It is the gained knowledge for the purpose to know what is right and according to God's word for a particular situation in the areas of moral and godly aspects. Now, look, you're not going to find in the book of Proverbs how to build or how to construct a house. But you're going to find how to build up a family. You're going to have some principles there in relations to that. You're not going to find in the book of Proverbs how to invest and make money, if you would, like some other books will probably help you with. But you will find some principles to help you use your money wisely. You're not going to find how you're going to get from Maryland to Newcastle and what route you're going to take. But it will help you how to spend your time wisely. You won't find a manual in the Bible or in the book of Proverbs on how to use your touch mobile phone. But it will teach you how to communicate and how to talk and how to communicate with people, how to handle matters wisely. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction, but also notice the second part of that verse, to perceive the words of understanding. The Proverbs are able to give godly perception. To perceive, that means to distinguish or discern, to understand. To have the understanding of God's word is to have wisdom. Understanding of God's word is to have wisdom. To understand the difference between right and wrong, light and darkness, truth and error. One of the reasons we need to understand certain things from God's word is that we're void of understanding at times. We're ignorant of some things. And we need to be known certain things in our lives, especially when making decisions. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 7. Use that as an example of a man that was void of understanding. Void means in need, lacking, he's in want, void of understanding. In chapter 7, beginning from verse 6, For out of my window of my house I looked through the casement and beheld among the simple ones I discerned, among the youths, a man void of understanding, lacking wisdom, lacking, needy, void of understanding. And I'm not going to go through this whole passage, but he committed something that was destructive. And so therefore he entered into something that would destroy his life and destroy the life of others. Committed adultery, void of understanding, maybe void of the understanding of what the consequences are. So, and if you want to go down a little, verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasten to the snare, note this, and knoweth not that it is for his life. That's what he was void of understanding, that his life was finished. The destruction. And so we now understand, one of the things that we need to understand is that things like this can destroy a family, can destroy churches, can destroy a life in dabbling in different things regarding to immoral issues. But he was void of understanding. And so therefore the Proverbs help us to understand to what avoid, to who avoid, to what to keep away from, the destruction of my decisions and so on. Another reason is that we tend to lean on unto our own understanding, don't we? And we know that God's ways differ from our ways. God's ways are different. And so it's good to understand God's thoughts, God's mind, God's ways. It's good to be in the Word of God to see how God thinks. And you'll notice that God thinks differently than what we think. And he does things differently to the way we do things. And so we understand how God thinks, how God wants to work. And then we see in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. This is to receive the instruction to draw. To receive instruction is to draw from, to carry away with. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will what? Draw it out. And the Proverbs can fill our hearts with great wisdom, great counsel that will instruct us, but we must draw it out. In other words, we must receive the instruction that we have from the Word of God. And drawing it out takes a lot of time and takes a lot of effort. But it's needful. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but have nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, shall be satisfied. So it's drawing out from the Word of God. And then we see the Proverbs will help us receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, which are all connected together. Justice is to be wise. To be wise is to do right. And to do right is to be wise. And it is the prudent person. It is to help deal with people in a right and fair manner. And then we have judgment. It is to make a wise and right verdict, weighing up certain issues in the light of God's word. In other words, it is to make righteous decisions. And then we see equity refers to things that are even, right, fair. These are all connected together, these words, justice, judgment, equity. They're all kind of entwined together. They're all connected together one way or another. A verse that can be shedding a little more light, a few verses, is Proverbs 21 verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And Proverbs 24:23, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. And so the Bible will help us not to have respect of persons in judgment. It would help us to simply receive this instruction to make even and right decisions, fair decisions, not biased decisions. Proverbs 18:5 says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Ho ho. Wow. And this is one thing that we need to be careful of. And we understand that God, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable than sacrifice. And so therefore, to be in the book of Proverbs, to have this wisdom and concentrated on and meditated upon, to see how God will have us to deal in certain situations, to make right judgments, and to not be biased in our decision, would be a benefit to God's glory. God wants that for your life more than your sacrifice. Because some sacrifice will not be acceptable according to God if we don't know how God wants these sacrifices. Does that make sense? You're with me tonight? Okay, good. And so, who can help me out tonight? What are some of the things that we need to have this even judgment? Or I'll give you a starting point with your parenting. It would help us to deal right with our children, not to favor one from another, because that can cause damage. Isn't that right? So what are some decisions that we can make, and we've got to be careful in making, that are fair decisions, right decisions, and we need to make sure that they're not biased decisions? Yep.
In our friendships?
Absolutely. Okay, friendships. Anyone else? It's hard to tell a friend that you love so much the truth, isn't it? It's hard. But sometimes the truth given to that person, a fair answer, is better. What about a teacher teaching a student? And that student gets A's every time. Something happens over there. There's a fight that's going on. Straight away, that student all of a sudden thinks it's the person that gets D's and E's, thinking that the A straight student can never go wrong. So we've got to make fair decisions. We need to understand. We need to make weighty decisions, decisions that would be fair, right, not overthrowing the righteous in judgment. Okay, anything else? Anyone else want to add to that? What is it?
Grace.
Race?
Ethnic.
Oh, race. Absolutely. Very good. Yes. Yes. The person's color, the person's background. I've probably mentioned this to you before, that if in our culture, if someone was going to meet someone, all of a sudden, they will make a judgment on that person based upon where he, what village he's from. Or what job he has. And that's a bad judgment to make. My question is, does he love God? My question is, does he love the Word of God? Not how much money he makes or anything like that, but is he godly? Does he love the Word of God? That's my question. All right, well, look at verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The simple one, this is the silly one, or the foolish one, if you would. One that just accepts anything without proving it from God's word. One that is gullible, naive, and ignorant. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." The simple is one that has their gate wide open. And takes all kinds of teachings without testing its substance. They might say things like, "What's wrong with it? It won't hurt me. It's not going to make a big difference. She'll be right. I can handle it. It can't be that harmful." They just accept everything without testing it from God's word. They're casual. They're not putting that stick to see whether or not it's a deep end, you know. They just go in without testing the waters. And they probably swing from that tree and go in not knowing that there's a car being dumped there. And so they just go. They don't test things. They're simple. They're foolish. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 21, the Bible says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And so the Bible is wanting us not to be simple, foolish, but rather to prove all things. And God, through His Word, helps us do that. And the Proverbs, using the Proverbs to gain that wisdom. It says here to give subtlety to the simple. That word there, subtlety, comes from the someone that is subtle in their dealings, someone that is crafty, someone that is, but in a good sense, not in the sense of Satan wanting to deceive. Satan was subtle in his dealings, but for the intent to deceive. No, God wants us to be subtle for the intent of not to be deceived. It's the other way, to be, in other words, smarter than Satan. And if you and I are going to be smarter than Satan, then we've got to be in God's Word. We've got to see His devices. We've got to see and understand. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 16. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as what? Serpents, but harmless as doves." What a contrast. Harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. And so why? Not to be beguiled by Satan's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul the Apostle knew that Satan is also subtle and his dealing, but to be smarter than Satan is not to be ignorant of his devices. And you know what? When you get into God's Word, He shows us the very cunningness of Satan and what he wants to do to destroy lives, and how he wants to destroy your life and my life. Not only to discern Satan's devices, but God wants to give us subtlety, wisdom, not to be lured by the world system. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 12, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." The same word there for prudence is subtlety. It's the same Hebrew word. And so God wants us to give us, He wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to give us His subtle approach. Why? So I'm not fooled by the witty inventions of this world and the philosophy of this world and the ways of this world. And I go with the wind of culture, with whichever which way the world wants to go. And you know it. The world is getting further away, further away than the some sort of standard that they did have once upon a time. They're going further and further away. And I know, I think I've probably used this illustration before, but this is where Christians should be. The Word of God, right here. We're supposed to be where the Word of God is. We're supposed to be having this Word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the world at one stage was perhaps here, having some morals. They had some kind of standards. They weren't so strong about homosexuality. They weren't, as they are now. There were some things that they used to have in ratings and on commercials that they were so sensitive not to put any commercials before a certain time for the children. Now they don't care. Billboards and watching what music in certain places and that used to be a sensitive point for the world philosophy, but now the world's moved here. It's shifting. And their inventions is witty and growing. And so therefore what happens is sometimes we move from where we're supposed to be. We move here thinking we're not bad because the world is over there. We still think that there's a distance between us. Oh, we're not that bad. We're not as bad as where the world has gone. But without realizing, we've shifted. We're supposed to be here no matter how bad the world gets. Amen? And that's tough in our day. But by God's word, look, listen, I get discouraged. I tend to shift in my thought and thinking when I'm not in the book. Yeah, I tend to tone it down. I tend to back up a little and hide that light under a bushel and think there's something wrong with my modern day preaching today. I need a shift with the 21st century modern day preachers. And when I get back in the book and I read about John the Baptist and I read about the prophets that died and were persecuted, I thought, but hang on, how can I shift? How can I go that way? For those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Not that you're looking for, but the message in itself has never been respected, not even when the prophets delivered and declared the word of God. Never at one time. It's always been resisted. And Jesus said, your fathers always resisted the Holy Spirit, always resisted the prophets. And now here comes Jesus Christ, and they did the same thing. The only thing that's going to keep you straight, the only thing that's going to help you is the Word of God. When you're in the Word of God, saturated in the Word of God, you won't be loose in your thinking. You won't be tempted to put the light under a bushel. God will strengthen your heart. God will give you wisdom. God will allow you to see the subtlety of Satan and how he wants to come and deceive. Absolutely. Seeing things from God's perspective. God wants to give you discretion. God wants to give the young man, the simple one, notice verse 4, knowledge and discretion. A person generally lacks wisdom. He doesn't not initially have the knowledge of the truth of God's word. Their heart is full of foolishness, even from the child, the Bible says. Foolishness is bound in the child. Someone once said, any man who understands his own foolishness is already a little wise. Spurgeon said, any man who understands, he says that the doorstep to the temple of wisdom is a knowledge of our own ignorance. And that's a good way to start and understand God. Look, before we can even gain the knowledge of God and have the knowledge of God and be diligent to be in the Word of God at a daily basis, we need to know that we need the Word of God. Because we lack wisdom. We need knowledge. We need to be discerning people. Having God's discretion and knowledge will help make righteous decisions for our lives and will keep us from future disaster. And so God wants to help us. He wants to give us this knowledge and discretion for the simple one. But notice verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. This person will never stop growing. A wise man will never stop growing. They will continue on. They will continue to grow. Hear the word of God. David Livingston once said, I will go anywhere provided it's forward. And the only way that you and I can move forward with God is when we obey the very word of God. And when God reveals something to us, we're in his word. We want to do things God's way. A man will hear. He will increase learning. And number two, a wise person will never stop learning. He'll always want to grow. Wants to be a teachable spirit. Have never come to a point where he's learned enough. He wants more. And the more, as I mentioned, the more you know and the more you know of God's word and the closer that you get to God, you feel that you're so insignificant and that you can see yourself for who you are at a greater light. And you see yourself that you lack and you keep lacking. You just need God's wisdom. So you draw closer and you grow further to his heart. We can never grow enough. We need to press on. Once we've reached to the point that this is okay, we don't need to read anymore, we don't need to be under the word anymore, we don't need to learn the new truths, the old truths, new, fresh, in another way, then we have a problem. And many times Paul writes in his letters to the churches, he says, it's good for me to put you in remembrance. It's good for me to put you in remembrance. It's always good to be reminded of the word of God. You read the Bible through, read it again. Read the Proverbs through in a month, read it again. Go again. Go again. Get familiar with the word of God. Let the word of God be part of you and you grow. Now, let me just say, if you're looking for someone to marry young people, make sure that person has a teachable spirit. In the 11 years of my Christian life, I've seen several things take place. One of those things that have taken place is when someone wants to meet another godly person. I won't say male or female because it's happened to both in both cases. They see that person that they love the Lord, they love God, and so therefore they begin to study, they begin to grow, they begin to come to church on a regular basis until they get that person that is growing in the Word, growing as a godly person, wanting to please God. And once they have got that person, they don't want to come to church anymore. They don't want to come regularly like they used to anymore. They don't want to have those Bible studies that they used to have at a regular basis. And sometimes it was for the intention of wanting to know that person, and this is the way that they can see themselves getting to know that person in that sphere of influence. Are they like? And so you need to be prayerful, young people, that you have someone that is always desiring to grow, desiring to be familiar with God, not for you, but for Him. For him. A person that stops receiving instruction and doesn't have a teachable heart is the opposite of wise. What's that? Foolish. Spurgeon said, A fool is in his own house will not be wise in mine. A fool in his own house will not be wise in mine. Be careful who you marry. And make sure that there are teachable spirit. They understand the words of Solomon and Ecclesiastes, that this is the whole account, this is the whole dealing. Fear God and keep His commandments. The woman that was praised in Proverbs 31 was one that feared God. And same thing is true. A man that fears God and keeps His commandments is one that God will honor. Not someone that will come to the point of their lives and said, I've had enough. I've attained. Listen, men, let me encourage you. You can always grow to love your wife. You can always grow to love your wife. You can always grow in submitting to your husband. You can always grow in that. There's so much room to grow. There's so much room to grow. And so we need to be increasing. A wise person will never stop growing, will never stop learning. And notice what the Bible says last, and the man of understanding, last part of that verse, shall attain unto wise counsels. A wise person will walk with the wise. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with the wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Be careful who you walk with. Or hang around with, spend time with. If you're trying to reach your friends at university, work for the sake of the gospel, praise the Lord. But be careful who you hang around with, who's teaching you, and what you're doing with them, and where they're taking you, and what you're watching, and what you're listening to in the car. Be careful of that. If you hang around with the wise, you will increase. You'll be yet wiser. Those that are just simply sold out, done and dusted, they're people that want to grow in God's word and they want to continue to grow, and they know that. And so Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It's a good thing to have godly teachers, godly parents, godly friends that you can actually go to and be with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so we need to be a people that are blessed and happy because we're in the counsel of the Word of God, but also the counsel of other men that love the Word of God. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, God giving him wisdom, penned down by the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore we can draw out and we can fill our heart with counsel, but we need to bring that counsel up. We need to, like a bucket in the well. By the way, if you Send that bucket down to the well. Guess what you're going to get? You're going to get fresh water every time. Fresh water. A good place to get fresh water is in the bottom of the well. Proverbs 1 verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. A Christian that grows in wisdom, in the wisdom of God, will be able to store up sound doctrine and be able to detect the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Things that are hard, things that are difficult to be understood, yet the spiritual man that judgeth all things, they're just plain and easy to them. But we must be in the Word of God. We must be in the book of Proverbs. Heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. We cannot be ignorant of God's Word. We need the Word of God. We need the whole counsel of the Word of God. But the book of Proverbs specifically gives us wisdom. Wisdom for everyday life dealings. They're principles from God's Word. We had people come from all different places to come and hear the wisdom of Solomon, which God had given him. And we have it right in our fingertips. And we'll be foolish not to every day dig in and draw from the Word of God. Draw out what God will have us every day. We'll be foolish not to do that. So we can grow spiritually. So we can have sound wisdom so that when error comes, false teachers comes, bad counsel comes, and perhaps it's not even intentional bad counsel, we can say, no, that doesn't sound right. Or it may be well good counsel for him or for that particular person, but it's not for me. It's not what God will have for me at this particular point. God wants to help you understand the wisdom of God, the wisdom which God would give to you. May God help us be diligent to be in God's book, amen? To reap the benefits of God's knowledge, God's wisdom. God help us to be people that would just get a bucket every day and draw from God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is God's mind. What's the purpose of the book of Proverbs? To be knowledgeable in God's wisdom, to gain strength. To understand, to know the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, to receive instruction, to make the right decisions, to give discretion, not to be deceived, to grow in wisdom, to increase in learning, not to be puffed up, but rather to be a student or a child of God that would walk uprightly, that makes right decisions for the glory of God. There is an ancient Indian legend of a king who loves chess. He challenged visitors to a game and was usually victorious every single time. One day, a traveling sage visited the kingdom and was challenged to a game. To entice him to play, the king offered to give the sage whatever reward he asked if he won. That was the king. He said, if you win, if you beat me, well, sure enough, he was victorious every single time he challenged. But he said, if you win, I'll give you whatever you want to entice him to play. Well, the king was defeated. And the king wanted to honor the request of his word and asked the sage what prize he would like. Well, the sage asked for one grain of rice to be placed on the first square of the chessboard. One grain of rice. And then that will be doubled on each of the following squares. And I believe there's 64 squares on a chessboard, is that right? The request seemed modest. The king ordered a bag of rice to be bought. One grain was placed on the first square, on the second square, two, on the third, four, on the fifth, 8, 16, 32, and so on. But it quickly became apparent that this was an impossible task to fulfill. The request was somewhat impossible. By the 21st square, more than 1 million grains of rice will be required. By the 21st. By the 31st square, the total would go over 1 billion, with more than half of the chessboard still left to go. Small things added have a big impact when they're added together. And all I'm saying is that the little decisions that you make in life The little decisions can impact to greater decisions. Just be careful when you're making decisions that you go to the very word of God and see, what does God say about this? I want to know God's mind on the matter. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be ignorant and arrogant. But rather, I want to know God's mind. I want to see what God says. As little as it is, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him in all your ways. Little things, big things, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I remember, just an illustration, I'm done. A couple of weeks ago, I made a decision. I decided I'm going to go to Brisbane. I had a few things to take care of, maybe a meeting to attend if I had some time. Someone there requested that they needed some help in starting up a prison ministry. I never consulted God about the matter. I went ahead and booked the ticket. Well, I thought I might well do someone a favor and say, do you want my ticket? Do you want to go? Just to change the name. By the way, this is Jetstar. If you're hearing it on this mic, don't travel with Jetstar. Just to change the name. Just to change the name. Just to change the name. It cost me about $200. I said, I can go get another fare. They said, oh yeah, you can if you want. I said, that's not going to help. All right, not just to change the name now, to change the name in the fare. Instead of Newcastle to Brisbane, Sydney to Brisbane. That's not big, no big deal. $600. I laughed. I said, sir, I'm not laughing at you. It made me laugh. You could at least tell me it wasn't worth it. Book another ticket. Cut a long story short. $160, just gone. Had I consulted God, he could have said, Charlie, there's too many things happened this month. You're going this, you're going there, you're doing this, you're moving. I don't want you to go. And it seemed to me that God was speaking to me that I had to pull the plug at this one. So many other things that was taking place. I didn't acknowledge God in the matter. I did not acknowledge him in this way. And there are many other stories that I can tell you that I didn't acknowledge God. And I've paid for it. The best thing that you and I can ever do is to acknowledge God and his word about every matter. As little as it seems. As little as it seems. God will never lead you astray. He wants the best for your life. He wants you to have this wisdom which he imparted to Solomon. But you and I will not gain the wisdom of God if we're not in the Word of God and if not walking with the Lord and we're in prayer with God. Hope that's helped you tonight. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer.